If you're going on a car trip and you pass through a city, we can say with certainty that that city is not your final destination. You might stop and get lunch, but you move on to some other place. You're only passing through. If you've got a long string of flights and have a layover in Dallas or Atlanta or Frankfurt, Dallas or Atlanta or Frankfurt aren't where you ultimately want to go. And if you tell people you've been to Dallas or Atlanta or Frankfurt, you have to preface it with, "I was only passing through." Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. So, naturally, in the middle of the town he intends to pass through, he tells Zacchaeus, "Come down quickly because today I'm just passing through town." No, that's not what our Lord says. He says, "Come down, for today I must stay at your house." There's an incongruity here. Jesus intends to pass through Jericho, but something about his encounter with the short tax collector in the tree changes his intention from passing through to staying for the night. Something about seeing Zacchaeus turns Jericho from just another point on the map during Jesus' long journey to Jerusalem into Jesus' urgent and immediate destination, at least for a day. This is baffling in Luke's gospel, since Luke 9:51, when Jesus sets his sights on Jerusalem and the death he will meet there, nothing has caused him to veer from that path. "The foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head," until he meets Zacchaeus in Jericho, after which he rests his head in Zacchaeus's house, at least for a night. It's this encounter with one of the most despised of sinners that shifts our Lord's intention. If we're honest about it, this shouldn't be a surprise. Think about the most fundamental mysteries of our faith as Christians and as Catholics. The Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the eternally begotten of the Father, unlimited and infinite, allows himself to be bound by the confines of humanity. What's even more? The Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the eternally begotten of the Father, unlimited and infinite, who allowed himself to be bound by the confines of humanity, goes even further and permits himself to be given to us as food, to be chewed and swallowed and digested. At the heart of our faith, we find a God who allows himself to be constantly transmitted through means far beneath his dignity and stature. But he does so because he loves. We find the Word of God, the Word through which all creation came to be, being nailed by a creature to a creature to save wayward and despicable creatures from destruction, because he loves. This is how God is, and this is how God loves. So, of course, God will change course to come and stay at the house of a despised tax collector. Of course he does, because he loves. But here's the thing, and it's a thing that should rock us like an earthquake. God does not love in a vague and general way, as though we're all lumped together into some congealed blob of humanity that God has affection for. Jesus changes course, or at least diverts it for a while, not because of nameless, faceless sinners. He does it for Zacchaeus, a specific sinner with a specific story and specific sins. This isn't some broad, vague love for humanity. This is targeted and pointed love for a specific member of humanity, one rejected by much of humanity because of his sins. This is the second week in a row we've heard about a tax collector in the gospel. Last week it was the tax collector who went home in right relationship with God because of his humility. This week it's Zacchaeus, not just any old tax collector, but a chief of tax collectors. And, like last week, the tax collector, who would have been despised in Palestinian Jewish society because he collected taxes for the Romans or for Herod, ends up being the good guy. The Gospels love this kind of inversion of expectations because, apparently, so does God. The Son of Man doesn't stay with those who are in the right place. He goes out to those who are in the wrong place to bring them into the right place. And what is that right place for Zacchaeus? Jesus doesn't tell him to sell all he has and give it to the poor and to come and follow him. He doesn't send Zacchaeus off on a mission to a far distant land. The location of Zacchaeus' conversion is the place where Jesus must go, Zacchaeus' house. That house, which previously had been a poisoned heart, where all of Zacchaeus' treachery and betrayal had been conceived and its toxic fruits enjoyed, was to become the very place where Jesus must go and stay. When he receives Jesus, Zacchaeus pledges away all of the furnishings of that house, all of the things that were so previously treasured and dearly held. He doesn't even say goodbye to them or give them a second thought. He gives them away. So what's the lesson from this gospel? We don't hear from Zacchaeus again in the gospels, so we don't know what he did after this meeting with Jesus. But Jesus says salvation has come to his house. So let's imagine that Zacchaeus didn't pick up stakes and move elsewhere. He stayed in Jericho. For many of us, we get the sense that something needs to change, we go on a trip and see things that are new and unfamiliar and exciting, or we buy something we've always wanted. We change our surroundings. But Zacchaeus today teaches us that repentance and conversion is not so much a matter of changing where we are or what we have. It's a matter of changing who we are and what we do. Zacchaeus' address doesn't change. The resident at that address changes. It's typical for us to think of the lost out there. But maybe there's a more profound notion of being lost in here. And it's exactly in here that Jesus intends to go, not because he loves and wants to save people in a vague and general sense, but because he most urgently loves and wants to save this person. Then, and only then, does salvation come not just to a house, but to this house, which is Jesus' intention and destination all along. Amen.